Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Very powerful song because it reminds me that one day I'm going to see his face.
Amen.
It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you. I want to welcome each and every one of you that are visiting with us. We want you to know that you are our honored guests. No accident that you're in the house of the Lord. You're here because you need to know what God requires of you, just like he requires of me. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and roundabout verse number 11, Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplieth, that in all things God might be glorified. So my job this morning is to glorify the God of heaven.
Yes.
And to help men and women out of darkness into a marvelous light.
Yes.
The world will celebrate the birth of Christ.
Yes.
Praise God. Because without his birth, I would have no hope.
Amen.
And without his dying on the cross, and without obeying from the heart his gospel, salvation would not be mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of the children of Israel, how they set up and was waiting on a king to come and to restore to them the kingdom of God on earth. But they misunderstood Jesus' mission. They misunderstood his purpose. And they really misunderstood a lot of his teachings. To the point to where some of Israel didn't even believe that God was God. And I'm reminded of what the prophet Isaiah would say to the people of God. In Isaiah chapter 9 and round about verse number 6, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so the prophet, as he talks to the children of Israel, he reminds them that there's going to be a birth that's going to take place. And in the process of this birth, he's coming for a purpose. His purpose is he's going to establish a new kingdom. And this kingdom is not going to be left to you and I. And I'm so glad that he built the church and not you and I. Amen, Walt. But many of the folks did not believe in what the prophet said. And I'm reminded of what the prophet Isaiah would say in Isaiah chapter 53 and round about verse number 1. The prophet said, who has believed our report? And who is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before us as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. Interesting. Because it talks about Jesus Christ. I won't go there. I'll go on with this. He has no form of comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire of him. I don't have time to explain it. If you have some questions, see me afterwards. But the prophet goes on to say, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid our face from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne all of our grief and sorrow, and yet we esteemed him strictly. Smitten of God and afflicted, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was up on him, and we are healed by his stripes.
Amen.
That's what drives me.
Amen.
That's what motivates me. To know that the God of heaven would see fit to send the very best of heaven to save me. He can save you too if you listen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 1 and round about verse number 21. Listen to these words. The Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Amen. The birth of Christ is very important, but it's in his death, it's in his burial, it's in his resurrection that he reminds us and commands us to do this in memory of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 31. Want to conclude this morning with the series of lessons we've been dealing with, where Jesus is on the cross, and he says seven things from the cross. He talks about forgiving folks. Have a hard time forgiving people? Thank you, brother. I'm glad we got some honest folk in the house. It's a difficult thing. But he says forgive them. He is in the midst of being persecuted. He has been nailed to the cross. And the first thing out of his mouth is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, sometimes when people mistreat you and misuse you, they don't know what they're doing. Amen. I've been there. Mistreat a person and you have no idea why. But not only that, someone recognized Jesus, and it took a man on the cross to recognize that Jesus was who he said he was. He said, "Truly, I say this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise." And as he hangs upon the cross, Jesus says to his disciple and to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." And as he's hanging there in pain, in agony, knowing that he's about to accomplish what God has sent him for.
Yes.
John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have," what? "Everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved."
Yeah.
So as he hangs in agony and in pain, he turns to his father and says, my God, lama, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And God had to forsake him because he took on Stan's sin. Amen.
Amen.
And see, when it becomes personal, man, life takes on a whole new meaning. Why did he forsake him? Because he took on the sins of the world. And as he hung there in agony, he said, "I thirst." And I imagine as I read from the Bible, they run and they get a stick from the hyssop plant. And they take that plant and they dip it in sour wine or vinegar and they give it to the Savior. And when he receives that, he said, "It's finished." It's done. You don't realize what you're doing, but this is all part of God's plan. And as he prepares to go on back to glory, Luke chapter 23 and round about verse number 47, Jesus says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Very powerful, because Jesus has accomplished what God has sent him to do. And in the process of accomplishing all that God has sent him to do, Jesus here now will return to glory. Jesus here now becomes the Savior of all mankind. And as he becomes the Savior, my question to you this morning, who's your Savior? In the book of Luke, this phrase, "Father, into thy hands I commend thyself," is the only place you will find this phrase. It's not in Matthew, it's not in Mark, it's not in John. Why is it in the book of Luke? Because Luke was considered the beloved physician. Luke recalls a lot of things that Matthew, Mark, and John does not record. Why? Because Luke would write even more detail about the suffering of Jesus Christ. And as he writes these words, I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus actually gets this saying from the prophecy that was prophesied about him a long time ago. Matter of fact, the psalmist used these same words. Psalms 31 and verse number 5, into thy hands I commend my spirit. David, as he is being sought, ready to be persecuted, David realized, I need my Savior. I can't do anything about it. And if they're going to kill me, Father, into thy hands, I commend my spirit. Not only did David use this, it was also used by Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah on many occasions, after it came to the point that Jeremiah got tired of being ridiculed and persecuted by God's people, he said, I'm not going to even mention the name of God. But he said, I can't help myself. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. I can't help myself but to speak about the goodness of God. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 25, 46. Not only did Jeremiah talk about it, Jonah also talked about it. Jonah chapter 2 and verse number 8. Why am I giving you all this history? Because you need to understand that this biblical prophecy of what Jesus says is also in the prophet before he even came on earth. In this lesson in Luke chapter 23 verse 46, Luke here repeats in the book of Luke the innocence of Jesus Christ. He tries on numerous occasions to show us that Jesus is innocent in the sight of all men. Yeah. Luke chapter 3 verse 20, Luke chapter 3 verse 4, Luke chapter 14 verse 15, Luke chapter 22. As he recalls these, that Jesus is innocent, he reminds us that Jesus is innocent not because man says so, because God says he's innocent. And I'm going to show you this morning that as he hung between those two twilights and as he gave up his ghost, listen to the words that were recorded in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the book of Matthew, the Bible said he yielded up the ghost. That's right. And the centurion that stood there said, truly, this was the Son of God. Why would the centurion say that this was the Son of God? Because the Jews said that he was not the Son of God. And so the centurion makes the evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. In Mark, the book of Mark, Mark also recalls, as he hangs on that tree, Mark recalls that he gives up the ghost, but he says, truly, this is the Son of God. In the book of Luke, Luke records Jesus as dying on the cross and gives up the ghost. And as you put these four gospels together, you're going to see that they all say something different. And why? Because some did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And so to the Jews and to those Gentiles, the centurion becomes the testimony that he was the Son of God. He helped nail them to the cross. He was there as he died. And I guess his witness would be the best witness you could have, because he helped crucify the Messiah. I want to encourage us this morning, as we stop and we celebrate the birth of Christ, remember it is in his death, it is in his burial, it is in his resurrection, yes, that you and I will have the right to the tree of life. Yes. Luke here recalls the pain and the agony that Jesus went through. And I want to encourage you that as this year starts to draw a close, stop and ask yourself a question. Am I really where God would want me to be? I don't know about you. I've been struggling for the past couple weeks because it's going into a new year. And I don't know about you, I'm constantly looking at where I'm at, where my children are at. I have a responsibility as the head of my house. That responsibility is to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. My responsibility is to seek and save the lost and to keep myself unspotted from the world. How do you do that? I've learned that a regular diet of the Word of God. And you know, and then we got to stop and take some time. This ain't part of my lesson, but this ain't going to cost you nothing either. I've learned that as raising my children, sometimes I have to cut off the one-eyed monster. And in 2017, I've learned I got to take away the iPad. Mm-hmm. Got to take away, well, y'all quiet. Got to take away the cell phone.
That's right.
And then I have to spend some quality time of showing my children, my grandchildren, what thus saith the Lord. And I'm learning the more I do that, boy, you talk about a peace that surpasses understanding. There ain't no fussing, ain't no fighting. You know why? Because God takes away all of that and put us in memory of what we're supposed to be doing. Title of the lesson, who have you committed your spirit to? The Father or? And I left it blank because, you know, a lot of times we think that we're doing the will of the Father and we're so far from the mark. See, I'm learning that in the midst of everything that Jesus did, he was an example to everyone he came in contact with. And that tells me that if he is the example, you and I must be the same. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and round about verse number 1, the Apostle Paul writes these words to the church and says, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, how did you follow Christ, Paul? Philippians chapter 2 and round about verse number 5. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man. He humbled himself. And I believe that's our biggest problem in America today. Nobody is humble to anybody else. And I know if you're not humble to God, you're going to have a hard time being humble to me. But it's important that as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exhort us in due time. Seven things that Jesus said from the cross. And the last one he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus understood from the beginning who he was. He understood from the beginning his responsibility and his message to mankind. See, Jesus' relationship to his Father is revealed in the book of John. And John remarks in John chapter 10 and round about verse number 30, Jesus says, I am in the Father, and the Father is me. Me and my Father are one. Question this morning, who do you really surrender your will to? I'm learning that until you surrender your life and service to God, boy, life doesn't really have any meaning. Matthew chapter 16 and round about verse number 24. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself. And sometimes that's difficult, ain't it? Because everybody sitting here think you all right, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Everybody thank you. All of that in a bag of chips, right? Come on, smile, folks. But I'm learning, church, that if I'm going to follow Jesus, I got to follow him to his word. And I'm learning the more I follow the word of God, the more peace I have in my everyday life. Jesus said, if you desire to come after him, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it. And whosoever will lose his life shall find it. And then Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Who have you committed your spirit to? Church, I'm learning that when you commit your way to Jesus Christ, he will make life a whole lot better than what you think it is. John chapter 10 and verse number 10. Jesus says, a thief has come but to steal, kill, and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I don't know about you. I have an abundant life because it's not about things. It's knowing that when he calls me from labor to the other side, I'll hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How do you know that you'll hear that, Stan? I'm glad you asked me that question. Because I'm going to walk in the light as he's in the light. I'm going to live my life in such a way that men and women are drawn to the cross by my example of life. And when it's time to serve him, nothing or no one stops me from serving my God. You're probably saying that, yeah, because you're a preacher. No, that's my family. When it's time to serve Jehovah, if you're not ready, see ya.
Amen.
See ya. Why? Because he has the words of eternal salvation. My wife can only take me to the grave. I need somebody to take me beyond the grave.
Amen.
And the only one I know that can do that, amen, is the one that holds the world in the hollow of his hand. I hope and pray this morning for those of you that are visiting with us, that I've said something to encourage and to remind you of what's really important on this time side of life. Jesus was able to commend his spirit to God because he was faithful to his Father. John chapter 8 and round about verse number 29, Jesus says, I always do the things that please my Father. John chapter 8 and round about verse number 32, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. See, those of us who are members of the body of Christ, you need to understand something. God has commissioned you to seek and save the lost. Those of you that are visiting this morning that may not know who Jesus is, I'm glad you asked me the question. Who is he? He is the Savior of all of mankind. Well, how do I obey? I'm glad you asked me that question. You must obey from the heart the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. What is the gospel? It's about the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Romans chapter 10 and verse number 10, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You've heard God's word this morning. Question is, do you believe what I said? John chapter 20 and verse number 30, many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples, not written in the book, but these are written that you might believe, and in believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says you got to repent of your sins. Luke 13:3, 13:5. Tell your neighbor, except you repent, you perish. Confess that he's the Son of a living God. And you know that's an ongoing confession for me. Every single day I confess that he is the Lord of my life and he's the King of kings. How do I confess him? By I live my life that men and women are drawn to the cross by the example of my life. James chapter 1 and round about verse 25. James says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How do you stay unspotted from a spotted world? It requires a constant word, the constant diet of the word of God. Psalms division 1 verses 1 through 6. The psalmist says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is not in chicken delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, he meditates day and night. He'll be like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. And its leaves. I got some leaves. Raise y'all's hands. I missed a couple of y'all. And his leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever he does, he shall prosper. The ungodly is not so, but it's like the chaff which the wind drives. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the congregation. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. See, God knows my way. Amen. Does that mean I'm perfect? Pretty close. You not?
No.
There's something wrong. Because when I obey from the heart the gospel of Christ, and went into the watery grave and came out, what was I? Perfect.
Amen.
Question me later. Question me later. And I'll show you that it's in that watery grave God did a spiritual operation. He says, now you're a sinner. Now stand you a saint. See, we've allowed the world to take words that the Bible says I am. The Bible says I am the righteousness of God.
Amen.
When are you going to start living like it? See, when you see my family, that's the Harmon family. There are certain criteria that recognize them as being the Harmon family. I'm a child of the Most High God. Isn't there a certain criteria that recognizes us as being children of God?
Amen.
Yeah. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We practice and we obey the truth. We're excited.
Amen.
We're motivated.
Amen.
We're enthused.
Amen.
Hey, because we're going to heaven.
Amen.
I know sometimes that's hard to say, huh?
Amen.
But see, if I'm not satisfied and convinced that he died on the cross,
mm-hmm.
how can I convince you?
Amen.
If I tell you that he can give you a better way when you obey the gospel, shouldn't you be able to see that in me?
Amen.
Shouldn't you be able to see the joy that comes from the Lord? Not only must you confess his name, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, Jesus says, confess me before men and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men. And I'll deny you before my Father. See, our conversation every day should not be about the weather.
Amen.
It should not be about, oh, girl, did you see that on social media? Oh, amen, Walls. You don't have to amen it. I know what I'm talking about. Our conversation every day ought to be about, did you know Jesus can help you?
I know you're hurting, but let me show you about a man that holds the world in the hollow of his hand. A man that says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. That's who I trust in. And in the midst of all of my trials and tribulations, you know what? I've gotten to the point to where I worry about absolutely nothing. And you're saying, yeah, right. You know why? Because I got a promise from God. Unlike the promise that comes from man, I got a promise from God that if I remain faithful till death, he will give me a crown of life that fadeth not away. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. So in the midst of everything that goes on me, I'm reminded that the comfort, the peace, the joy that I have comes from his word. Philippians chapter 4 and round about verse 4 and following. Paul said, God will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Amen.
And you know, in the midst of your trials and tribulations, you got to rest your hope, your trust in what he says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, as I close, Paul writes these words to the church at Corinth and reminding them that in the midst of everything that goes on around you, don't lose heart, don't give up, trust God, and God will take care of everything else.
Amen.
It was the psalmist that said, I was young, now I'm old, yet have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. I'm not worried about nothing. I'm not worried about my family. Why? Because if I teach them what God says, that in the midst of everything that goes on in this world, they're going to be all right. Why? Because God said he would be there for them. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. Keep yourself free from the love of money. Be content with such things as you have. For God has said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So with confidence. How many of y'all got confidence this morning?
Amen.
Huh? You ain't got no confidence? Oh, well, y'all need to see me later because y'all need some one-on-one counseling. You got confidence in yourself, don't you? Yeah, you do. You got confidence in that man. That's why you get up every morning and go to work. You know what gives you the confidence? If you don't go, you ain't got no job. Amen. Well, see, you understand that? But why not the confidence to know that Jesus said, if you come to me, I'll take care of everything else. What you gonna do, Jesus? Matthew chapter 6. Seek thee first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. What other things? Back up into the text. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. He'll feed you. He'll clothe you. He'll put a roof over your head.
Yes.
When you trust God and depend on God, what should you worry about? Why are we so fearful of everything in the world? And you know why? Because we don't understand the risen Savior. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, as I close, Paul says we're troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed and not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. That's what makes me shout.
Amen.
If nothing else on this time side of life matters, I know that when God calls the world into play, I'm going to be right there with him. That's the promise that I get from God. And he didn't stop there. He goes on to say, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, renown to the glory of God. Verse 16 says, for which cause we faint not. That's right. I've given up on a whole lot of things, but I'm not going to give up on Jesus. You know why? Because he promised me that when death knocks on my door, Luke chapter 16, he'll dispatch
the heavenly pallbearers to take me to the other side. I want to encourage those of you that are visiting, stop and ask yourself a question. If he called you right now, where would you spend eternity? Would you be like the thief on the cross and say, Lord, remember me when thy come in thy glory? And Jesus would say to you, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Or will he say, depart? It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. I want to encourage us and remind us that one day Jesus is coming. One day he's going to stop time. And when you die, guess what? That's your judgment. That's right. Contrary to popular belief that you can pray a person in there, no. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is pointed unto man wants to die. After death comes the judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account to everything done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Verse number 11, Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. And I can read about how God was. God did not play under the old. And the Hebrew writer says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many hit the promised land? How many were saved in a flood? I ain't the smartest in the world, but I know when he returns, he's coming back for a church that has not a spot nor a wrinkle. Not the building. But those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel and live our lives the way he commands. He's coming back for us. And when he comes, he's going to deliver the kingdom back to his Father. I want to read this last two verses, and then the message is yours. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions is but for a moment, which worketh for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I just hope and pray I've said something just to encourage your heart. Those of you that's visiting this morning, it's no accident. Somebody invited you to come hear God's word. And I hope and pray I've said something that will encourage your heart, that'll help you to see that in the midst of everything that goes on, if you trust God, God will take care of everything else. I'm a living testimony that he can take you from the cesspools of the world, put a Bible in your hand, and you can go proclaim his word. No matter what man says, God is the author and finisher of our life. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.